The paper by Gade reports on fieldwork performed during 1996 to 97 in Indonesia. The subject of Gade's research was reading of the Quran. I emphasize the word reading because the term has a special sense as she uses it. Gade is less concerned with the meanings that people associate with the text, so it's not in a hermeneutical sense that she uses the word. Instead, she focuses mostly on reading out loud, and in particular, reading as performance. During the 1990s in Indonesia, there was widespread interest in memorizing the Quran and participating in local and national Quran recitation contests. People bought and listened to audio tapes designed to teach recitation, they took classes, and they followed the careers of famous performers. Gade looked at this phenomenon from a variety of angles. She examined the history of Quran recitation, looking, for example, at the reception in Indonesia of an Egyptian system of melodic recitation. She considered the gender marking of different practices. She considered the pronunciation of Arabic in different contexts, showing that a standardized pronunciation was increasingly used in Quranic recitation, whereas greater variation and more influence from local vernaculars were found in the reading of devotional texts in Arabic. Throughout, she focused on three themes: education, the means by which people learned to read the Quran; variance, how widely distributed certain practices were; and change, with a focus on the contingent factors that affected the distribution of practices over time. So that's the subject of her research. To understand her subject, she develops a broad vocabulary of technical terms, the most important of which is internalization. This picks up on the theme of education. Education is just the internalization by an individual of culture. It's both the internalization of facts and practices, memorizing the text of the Quran and learning how to pronounce it, and also of norms, the standards by which one judges whether one's pronunciation is adequate. Along with this focus on norms comes an interest in the affective quality of experience, and consequently on the subjectivity of individuals. When we move to her rather lengthy literature review, we find that it ends up focusing on one contrast in particular. She sets the ethnographic tradition on Indonesia against the history of religions approach. The ethnographic tradition providing, and these are quotes, weak contextualization in terms of trans-regional traditions, and the history of religions being too often invested in named traditions. So the ethnographer has trouble linking his observations with larger cultural patterns, whereas the historian of religion reifies tradition and treats them as unified wholes to the point of missing both variation in space and change over time. So Gade is clearly trying to find a way to generalize beyond individual, contextually rich ethnographies, as manifested in her criticism of what she calls the hermeneutical approach of, for example, Geertz. And it's here that she discusses the theory of Humphrey and Laidlaw. She cites two components of their theory. First, where they discuss how the performance of ready-made ritual actions affects how agents think about themselves. This is the final chapter of their book, and it's looking at some of the implications of their theory. So in some sense it's peripheral to their main argument, and perhaps rather provisional. But it presumes the developed theory from the core of the book. Gade is interested in the self, in affective experience, in the specificity of individual experience. And this is consistent with the tradition she's operating in. As she points out, the self is a highly theorized concept in the anthropology of the Pacific and Southeast Asia, and it's not surprising that it's central to her analysis. Second, she makes two references to Humphrey and Laidlaw's phrase, getting it right, the title, for example, of their chapter 5. For Humphrey and Laidlaw, the phrase is shorthand for the notion that performing a ritual just amounts to performing a set of prescribed acts. But Gade uses the phrase as a synonym for orthopraxy, which is an entirely different understanding of the phrase. Perhaps we should conclude that this is just a bad example of someone who's referencing Humphrey and Laidlaw's theory, and that I shouldn't have mentioned it at all. But there's at least one place where she could usefully refer to their theory, and doesn't. Namely, when she says, on page 357, that, quote, a mistake in musical performance is not the same as a ritual or Quranic mistake. This gets at the problem of what constitutes a ritual action, and how ritual differs from other types of action, for example, musical performance, which on the surface appears constrained in ways similar to ritual. This cuts right to the heart of the problem that drives Humphrey and Laidlaw's analysis, and is a point where Gade's data could usefully shine light on theirs. The reason she doesn't go this way, I'll propose, is because she's interested in the uniqueness of human experience, and this takes her away from general ritual theory. In fact, I think there's a tension in her analysis on this score, because in places, she does seem interested in general theory. In these examples, I'm looking for hints about why scholars fail to engage with general theories of ritual. Perhaps Gade's interest in contingent over general causes is driven by her own theoretical commitments. Perhaps by the Southeast Asianist interest in the individual. Perhaps by her informant's emphasis on their own subjectivity and affective experience. Maybe all of these.